Case 57, page 378.
Before you have penetrated, it all seems like a silver mountain, an iron wall. When you have been able to penetrate from the beginning, it was yourself that was the silver mountain, the iron wall. If someone asked me, "So what?" I would just say to him, "Here, if you can reveal an action and observe an environment, occupy the essential bridge without letting profane or holy pass, this would not be beyond your inherent capacity. If, on the other hand, you are not yet thus, observe the look of an ancient." A monk asked Chao Cho, "The ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid picking and choosing. What is not picking and choosing?" Chao said, "In the heavens and on earth, I alone am the honored one." The monk said, "This is still picking and choosing." Chao said, "Stupid oaf, where is the picking and choosing?" The monk was speechless.
Title is Chao Cho's Stupid Oaf. pointer, before you have penetrated, it all seems like a silver mountain, like an iron wall. When you have been able to penetrate, from the beginning, it was yourself that was the silver mountain, the iron wall. Let's see the simple understanding, meaning of the sentence. Can you say something about this first line before you have penetrated? First paragraph. I have read, before you have penetrated, it all seems like a silver mountain, like an iron wall. What is a silver mountain in this case?
Would it be the truth?
Made out of silver?
Huh?
A mountain that's made out of silver?
Sure. Yes. What is a silver mountain? There's an example, but there are silver mountains or iron wall. It's an implication of the truth. Okay, so, first paragraph, can you say? First sentence, before you have penetrated, it all seems like a silver mountain, like an iron wall. What does it mean?
Now that you said that the symbols of the truth, I'm kind of confused. I was thinking that it meant a dualistic world. You set up self and object. It seems like an iron wall.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Before you have experienced the truth, truth can be seen objectively. So no matter how long you try to reach, it's pretty hard to understand it. It's pretty hard to reach. So that's why truth you are seeking objectively is like a silver mountain. The more you try to climb, the more you can't. It's huge, high, simple mountain. And also, iron wall is very hard. You cannot understand it. Okay? Do you understand? Sorry. objectively try to understand the truth. So objectively means intellectually. Intellectually, you try to approach, you try to have access to the truth. Intellectually, anyway. The next sentence, when you have been able to penetrate from the beginning, it was yourself that was the silver mountain, the iron wall. What is this? When you have been able to penetrate, what does it mean?
Once you understand.
Understand, experience. Okay. If you really experience the truth from the beginning, okay? Before you understand, before you experience or not, from the beginning, anyway, it was yourself that was the silver mountain and the iron wall. What does it mean?
Could it mean ego?
Penetrating
what's not?
Hmm.
That it's really always accessible?
The truth is within you. The truth is within you. And the obstacle is within you.
Yeah, ego. Right. Pre-cross.
They're the same.
Yes, same. Exactly. Not ego. You know the word, if you use truth is in you, or truth is exactly you, it's quite different, don't you think so? So even though you say the truth is in you, or you are in truth, still dualistic. In is extra. So no gap between, that is exactly the same. So that's why it says, from the beginning. From the beginning is before you experience the truth or not. Anyway, from the beginning, you are, your body and mind are anyway truth itself. Silver mountain, iron wall. Okay? That's why the more you try to climb the mountain, your body, your life, okay? Your body and your mind. Pretty hard. It's deep, don't you think so? In your whole life you have to study. You have to learn what the human body is, what the human mind is. Then learning your body and your mind is simultaneously to learn the human world. So that because your body is really interconnected with the human world. So to understand you is to understand the human world. That's why it's huge. So that is a silver mountain. Okay. So that's why first, that's why Dogen Zen says to study the Buddhism is to learn the self. To learn the Buddha Dharma is to learn the self. So let's study. Let's learn who you are. Because you are anyway silver mountain. Vase table human life interconnected, interpenetrated with a huge universe. So you can break down, you can destroy your body and mind by your understanding, by your own standard, or by your prejudice. You can destroy your body and mind. It's very hard. I war. Right? Then next, if you read the next paragraph.
If someone asked me, so what? I would just say to him, here, if you can reveal an action and observe an environment, occupy the essential bridge without letting profane or holy pass, this would not be beyond your inherent capacity.
Okay. If someone asks me, in other words, the truth is, truth is exact to your body and the mind. And then someone says, so what? Okay, so what? How do you answer? Do you answer to this? Then I would just say to him, here you, if you can reveal an action and observe an environment, means you can reveal an action and observe environment. Do you understand this one? Okay.
If you can understand the functioning of a thing, how something works through and through.
To reveal action. To reveal action, observe environment.
To understand how something works is through and through.
Through and through. The kukras. Kukras. Understand. Not understand. Manifest. Sure, manifest. Reveal. So what do you reveal?
Yourself, truth.
Truth, right. Where? How?
Here. Now.
How do you reveal the truth?
In action.
In action, that's true. That's why if you can reveal an action means you have to reveal the truth in action you are confronted with. Okay? And observe environment. What do you mean? Observe what? What do you observe? What do you observe? What should you observe?
Observing the actions of everything else that's interpenetrating.
Across?
The interconnectedness of everything.
Mm-hmm. More simply, you can say. You understand. You can reveal the truth in action. Next, you observe
of the universe.
Huh?
Of the universe.
Universe. Yes. Observe
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The law of cosmic effect.
Yeah, that's pretty logical. Something more simple. Universe or truth. Okay. That's why here, if you can reveal the truth in action, observe the truth in every environment you meet. Right? So wherever you may be, anyway, you have to, anyway, manifest. You have to manifest, you have to reveal the truth. Truth means something more than you, okay? Something more than you. You have understood. Something more than. So through that human body, action, who does? Who does that act? Who act? Who act? Who observe? Who observe? Who act?
Nobody at home.
Since I am asking a simple question. Don't think complicated. Sure, you. You act. So you act. Who are you?
Silver Mountain.
Huh?
Silver Mountain.
True.
Huh?
True.
Hmm?
True.
Not truth, but action. Who the acting person who is acting is who?
Yourself.
Well, what's the first? In your dualistic world.
Actor.
Huh?
The actor is a person who is acting.
Oh, actor. Yes, actor. Actor, actress. Means a small guy. This funny guy, okay? Everyone, funny little guys over there. So you act. Means the common, pretty common, usual human being. Act, observe. Okay, don't forget this one. Even though you try to forget, you cannot escape. Okay. So, through this small scale of the human body, human mind, you have to reveal what? You have to reveal what?
The truth.
Truth. You have to observe
truth.
Truth. Right. Is that possible?
Huh? If you say so. No.
if I don't, what do you think?
It's harder.
Huh?
It's harder. Is it possible not to do that way?
No way to escape. Whatever you say, it's harder or it's easier, we have to do it. Even though it is possible, it is impossible, whatever you say, you have to do it. Right? Because you are there. Your body and minds are all in truth. Right? Universe. So, then people ask you so what, and then I say, if you can reveal and actually observe environment, occupy the essential bridge without letting profane or holy pass. Case 55, the second lines from the top. He cuts off the essential crossing place and doesn't let profane or holy pass. Exactly same sentence here. But here, he translated, occupy the essential bridge without letting profane or holy pass. Essential bridge means a ferry to carry the people from this shore, the life and death, and nirvana, right? From delusion to nirvana, enlightenment, or from evil to good, something like this. Fairy. Okay. Fairy. So fairy is inevitable, important place where everyone should pass through. But he said, cut off that bridge, that ferry, means the most important place, cut off that most important ferry, and you don't let the profane and enlightenment holy pass. What does it mean?
The end of dualism?
And dualism. Yes. any other?
Avoid picking and choosing.
Mm-hmm. I don't. We don't yet. We don't. That's true. That's true. In a sense, it's true. Okay. Any other?
Just returning to quiet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not discriminated.
Do you think the dualistic world is very rational? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's pretty rational. Huh? So, cut off the fairy. And without letting the profane and the holy pass, means cut off what? A sense of duality or a sense of rationality? According to a sense of rationality, it's impossible to cross over the river from here to the other shore. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. All right? But it's possible because how? What you should do in order to make it possible? Cut off the sense of rationality, what does it mean?
We drop off body and mind?
Sure, that's true, but it's not idealistical, you know? You have to do something in a concrete way.
Open your eyes to see what's around.
Sure. What does it say? What does it say in this paragraph?
You have to act without discriminating between the holy and the profane, mm-hmm. meaning you have to just take care of things, whether they're little or small.
Yeah, but if you use this sentence in some sentence in second paragraph,
be beyond action and observe that environment.
Right. You have to reveal the truth in every action you do. All right. And then it's possible. It's possible. Impossibility becomes possible. Anyway, alright? You have to observe the truth in every circumstance you are meeting. That is what? That is practice, alright? This is a practice. This wouldn't be beyond your inherent capacity. What does it mean? What do you mean?
We are Buddha nature, and therefore we can go and understand it.
Mm-hmm. Beyond your inherent capacity.
It's within you to do this particular thing.
Mm-hmm. Beyond your inherent capacity, what do you mean?
Beyond understanding.
Huh?
Beyond our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Princess.
So what is a beyond? What is a beyond your inherent capability? Capacity?
It's not beyond. It's not beyond.
It's not.
Not beyond your
head. Yes, not beyond. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not beyond. What is it that you can not beyond? What you can do? What you should do? When you do, what do you do? What do you do?
When you do what you do, what do you do?
What do you do when you are not beyond, okay, inherent capability, capacity?
You're centered. You're here.
Mm-hmm.
You're centered. You're here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what it says?
Yeah.
Every action shows the truth.
Sure. True. Okay. So, it is not the beyond inherent capacity means it's not so strange. It's very common. It's not mysterious. Alright? You understand? It's not mysterious. It's not open to a particular person. It's open universal. Everyone can do it. But everyone, most of the people cannot do it because everyone tried to approach to that one through intellectual sense. Okay. That is really cause of creating egoistic understanding. So you cannot do it. Someday, somewhere, you have to jump it. Okay? That is practice. Jump it doesn't mean to blind yourself. Still your intellectual sense is clear. Okay? But when the time is right, conditions are arranged, you have to practice it. You just jump it. For instance, if you want to swim, anyway, no matter how long you study the swimming, through the book or thinking of swimming, it's not a real swimming. Do you understand that one? For the spiritual life, people are always thinking. And spiritual trip means sometimes spiritual trip complete what makes you completely spaced out. Sometimes philosophical head trip. Or sometimes psychological head trip. Lots of people do that. Okay. And that's fine. That's fine. But you should know. You should know when you have to do it. You should stop. When you should stop this one, and then when you have to jump it in. When you are ready, you have to jump it. Even though you don't feel you are ready to jump it, sometimes you should jump it. All right? Do you understand? Okay. So, from this point, and this pointer, what does it say? Can't you say it simply? The meaning point of this pointer mentions.
You are the truth, and you manifest yourself in your action.
Because? Why?
Because you do it.
Because it's
That's
there.
Your inherent nature.
Because what?
Because it is there.
Because it is there where?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Oh. If you do, if you want to do, that truth is where?
Inside yourself and outside yourself.
Not outside and inside, anyway. Your whole body and mind is truth. Mm-hmm. Not inside, not outside, not middle. Whole body. Because our bodies, our minds are exactly, totally the truth itself. No gap between. Not in you, not in the truth. Alright? That is identity. Exactly identity. Total identity with the truth. That is your body and your mind. That's why you cannot destroy. You can't, even though you disappear, You experience despair, but still you cannot destroy. Because your body is iron wall. Life is deep, like ocean. Life is high, as mountains. That's why silver mountain. That is the point, meaning, okay, of the point. Case. Would you read case once more, then, please?
The monk asked Chao Cho, the ultimate path has no difficulties, just avoid picking and choosing. What is not picking and choosing? Chao said, in the heavens and on earth, I alone am the honored one.
Do you have a doubt from if you read this one? Do you have a certain doubt? Mm-hmm. Is there rational, understandable, or is there rational? Do you have some doubt?
I have doubt.
What kind of doubt do you have?
I get real stuck with, even though you talked about this during a session, maybe, sometimes, I don't remember, the I alone.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on I alone. Oh. And the other one.
Okay. It's your doubt. That's a big doubt. Pretty good. The other doubt.
Well, does he mean that he's the Buddha? I alone and the I alone.
Mm-hmm. And also the first sentence, the ultimate path has no difficulty, just avoid the picking and choosing. I have several copies and I will give you. That's 3, 4. So you can, in the beginning of that, I will read you. Would you read the first? Four lines.
The great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised.
Yes. Okay. Nice point. This sentence, the ultimate path has no difficulties, just about picking and choosing. It comes from this sutra. So that sutra says, the great way is not difficult for those who have no preferences. When love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. What do you think about this? Do you have some question? Doubt about this?
Well, rationally it seems that I sympathize with the monk's question, because it does seem that you make a choice to. Having no preference, it seems to be a choice.
Why did this monk make a question like this? Why? When he reads this sutras.
How can I not pick and choose? And that's the doubt I have when I say, how can I do that?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, pick and choose? If in this sutra.
Discriminating.
Having preference.
Think about it.
Having preferences.
Yep, preferences.
Attachment.
Many preferences, intellectual preferences, and also emotional preferences, affective preferences. And then what it says, this sutra says.
Well, according to this sutra, when love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make the smallest distinction, however, in heaven and earth are set infinitely apart.
When the love and hate is both absent, and then everything becomes clear. Do you think, can't you accept this? Can't you accept?
Most people are afraid to accept that.
Mm?
It's not doubt people have, it's fear, I think. That's not mm-hmm. doubt, but a fear.
Yeah.
I don't understand in a situation like that. Doesn't have it. Well, when you sleep, well, unconscious. I think it's a situation called mindfulness or something, but
can you
imagine like a, I'm having a love and hate.
But do you think it is a possible to do you?
That's the doubt.
Aren't we by saying that, aren't we choosing not to choose?
But choosing and picking and choosing is all right, but picking and choosing, and then what happen? What will happen? After picking and choosing, and then what will happen?
Touching.
Why do you touch?
Because of your preferences.
Your preferences, but why do you? Why do you attach to your preferences? What kind of preferences?
You identify with them. Yeah. I mean, you,
sure.
You take
sure.
them for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, more concrete way you can experience in everyday life. For instance, if you look at the If the people who don't know about Buddhism and look at me, and then immediately he or she was very surprised at me, and then picking and choose next, something happens. And why that is a preference? Okay. After judging or evaluating, and then afflictive preferences appear, right? That is called what? What is our afflictive preference?
Love and hate.
Yes, love and hate. Very natural. And love and hate makes your life what? Simple? Complicated, huh? So, but on the other hand, this is a, would. Do you think it's really possible to go beyond this one, to absent, to make your love and hate absent?
Mm-hmm. No, it's too hard.
Do you think so? Everyone?
Yes.
No one say yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like it was. It's all right to experience both love and hate, but just not to become attached to either one.
Can't you do that?
Sometimes you're attached to love, sometimes to hate, and always places in between.
Between is a pretty shaky situation. Between is not absent. Between is not the situation that love and hate are absent. No? Do you understand? Just like a sandwich, hamburger. Do you understand? Exactly, you can go even between.
Is there balance?
Sure. No, not balance. It's very shaky, you know. Not totally. Balance. The Hamburger means between, and the year is a bread, all right?
Oh.
Bread is separated completely. This is a past, this is a present. You know, it'll be future. The hamburger is your present. But at any place you can go, past, the present, and future. Alright? Because without past and the future, without two pieces of a bread, you cannot eat the hamburger. Shaky situation. It's between, right? So between is not absent. Between is not free from hatred and love. Between is also part of the hatred and love. Right? So in Buddhism, we say suffering is suffering, and pleasure is also suffering, and also neutral is suffering. Neutral means between.
What's beyond?
Huh?
What's beyond?
That's a question.
You don't
that's what I want to know.
Oh, you want to know?
So, first of all, in terms of dualistic sense, it's really impossible to escape from love and hate. Because if you ignore this, if you deny this, you cannot be the human. Okay? But most of people, that's why most people misunderstand Buddhism. If they read the Buddhism, understand it just on the surface, just like this. If the hate, love, and the hate are both absent, then everything becomes clear. That means complete denies, negation of the love and hate. Right? But actually, it's impossible. Why the Buddhism has to say so? Because it's impossible. That's why we have to pay attention to it again. Right? Do you understand? It's pretty easy to deal with the love and hate. It's not necessary to emphasize, please pay attention once more again. Love and hate. So love and hate are inevitable situation for everyone, but that's why we have to anyway take care of it, because it then makes your life very complicated. So, from this point anyway, this monk, that's why this monk anyway, make a question like this. The picking and choose is what is that? Picking and choosing?
Consciousness.
Consciousness? What kind of function of the consciousness?
Dualistic.
Dichotomy. Discriminations. Yes. So, discrimination through your everyday life, if you see somebody or something, first of all, what's the function of consciousness comes up? What?
Evaluation? Judgment?
Right. That is very common. For instance, if you come into this room first, what kind of consciousness work? Operate?
Perception.
Huh?
Perception.
No, consciousness.
Oh.
What kind of consciousness?
Subjective?
No.
Sense. What are you saying?
Before sense. When you come in, immediately it works. Operate. What's that? You can use very often.
how about impression? Impression comes up.
Impression.
Visual?
Hmm?
Visual?
No, function for consciousness. Kind of consciousness.
I have an opinion right away about it.
Observation?
Objective.
Can we all go out and try it?
For instance, if you somebody comes in and they immediately feel very quiet, what makes you feel quiet? What kind of consciousness makes you quiet?
The discrimination that this is a different
before discrimination.
Before discrimination, there wouldn't be any love or hate.
And I am talking about consciousness. Before you, before the discrimination operate, what kind of a consciousness was? What makes you tranquil or calm?
Openness.
Openness, yes, but consciousness. Is that? For example, I have a three cross to this one. Instinct? Any other?
Intuition.
Intuition. When you come in, intuition operates immediately. Right? Or if you see somebody, immediately what? Something, your consciousness operates. That is intuition. Right? And then next.
Judgment
usually, yes. And then if you judge and evaluate, then what happens?
You have an opinion.
Yes, opinion. What?
Or you decide then if you like or dislike.
Right. That's discriminating, of judging and evaluation, and then next, affective preferences comes up. That is like or dislike, love and hate. And then what they makes your life very complicated, just like snowballing from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. It's called rolling. That is called samsara. Samsaric life.
Is affective preferences an active thing? Is that an expression of discrimination?
Pre-active affective preferences is very concrete aspect of human emotion, and after judgment, evaluation, and thinking, and discrimination. But a Buddhist practice is something you have to do before you evaluate. You discriminate. What is that? Intuition works, and then
truth in action, action in truth.
Sure. You have to act the truth, and you have to reveal the truth in your action. Yes.
Could it be
what Buddha says? What you have to do before you judge, evaluate, but your consciousness immediately operates in common sense, usual sense, but. Even though you do like that every day, but you have to do something important. What the Buddha says?
Be aware.
Mindful.
Mindful too. What you have to be mindful.
That what you're observing or what's in front of you is not separate from you.
Yeah, Buddha. When the Buddha was attained enlightenment, what he attained enlightenment?
I love.
No. Yes, all sentient beings.
He attained enlightenment with all sentient beings.
Oh, yes, all sentient beings are what?
Buddha.
Buddha. Yes. That is, you have to practice before you judge. That's pretty hard. Do you understand this one? But most of people completely forget this one. Do you?
You said intuition was the first act of consciousness. Can you say something? When we come in the room, what are the characteristics of intuition? What does that include?
Well, as a whole, you can catch it.
See the whole picture?
Yeah, whole picture. And before your consciousness, common sense, six consciousness start to operate, your intuition complete, capture, hold, and a certain situation as a whole. And then your six senses start to work. Then at that time, six senses separate, the karma. And then pick up one. So called gone, so called get, you know, great. And then I judge, evaluate. That's it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. If my consciousness pick up this only one person, my consciousness completely don't pay attention to others. So only this guy. That is a picking and choose. Right? Very picky. Very precise. Very clear one. But the intuition completely working as a whole. Yeah? So
if you haven't experienced all sentient beings as Buddha, isn't that a form of discrimination though? I mean, if you haven't actually experienced
that. Yes, you have. Discrimination already.
So in order for me to...
That's why, in order to what?
In order for me to try to experience and then treat my experience as the Buddha, for me that would be discrimination, wouldn't it?
Smart. Human beings are really smart, isn't it? Always picking and choosing. Yes, we are, our consciousness is always working like that, okay? From moment to moment. But before you judge, evaluate, anyway, still we have to do something. Okay? That is called we are Buddha. Right? We are Buddha means what? What kind of practice we should do?
You rest?
Practically, what you should do? Sure. But your consciousness is always working. Your consciousness is barking at you. But you have to practice something. So go, all sentient beings support. So, in order to maintain that practice, what should you do?
Just do it. Just jump into it. Right?
No, blindly. You cannot just do it.
Does it have something to do with the essential bridge? What are you saying? Cut it. Occupy the essential bridge
I'm not talking about that one.
Okay,
I'm talking now. What's it? What kind of practice you should do in order to maintain we are Buddha, maintain the truth we are Buddha.
Zazen
is good, but in your everyday life, what you should do?
Very compassionate.
Very compassionate, yes. More.
Be mindful.
Mindful, yes. What kind of mindfulness?
Reveal the truth in your actions.
Sure. Pray in a complete way.
Wholeheartedly, don't discriminate.
Well, something more than that.
You should see everything as Buddha.
Sure, but concrete way. You have to maintain that teaching, truth. But your consciousness is always barking at you. How can you maintain?
Be very centered.
Very noisy. Around your life, very noisy.
Very close.
Huh? Do you understand your situation?
No.
You are already going in a certain pattern, lifestyle. So you cannot stop it. But you have to do it, something important. That is so-called the truth, that all sentient beings are Buddha. But your circumstances, yourself, when the very noisy, barking at you, what you should do?
Acceptance?
Sure, accept, but it's very difficult to accept in a noisy situation.
Stopping the show.
Stopping the show, yes. You see? Opposite to noise, what?
Quiet.
What would you call quietness?
Being centered.
Being centered, sure.
Peaceful.
In technical term, what is that? Technical term in Buddhism?
Emptiness?
No.
No.
Samadhi.
Samadhi.
Samadhi. Okay.
That doesn't sound too practical to me.
Come on. It's very
common. There's a leap there. I mean, how do you get there?
No. You know? Well, for instance, very concrete. Don't you think so? No. Quietness is very concrete.
But with all the noise and stuff? Noisy.
Right in the middle of noisiness. And then you must be quiet. Don't you?
And the way to do that is just to do it.
Sure. That quietness is very important for you. If you become quiet, can you rush into a certain destination so by your judgment? Can you? Can't you grasp somebody by the judgment quickly? Can't you? If you become quiet? No way, you can't. But if you don't, immediately you are carried away by judgment. Evaluation. Very common usual lifestyle. You are just washed away. Just like a flap. Do you understand? But you have to maintain, for this you must be quiet. That means you cannot rush into it. Take time. Right? You have to take time. That is what? What you should do every day. Zazen. Okay, zazen. And when the zazen extends into your everyday life, what is that?
Mindfulness,
quietness, tranquility, samadhi. You can say so. Right?
You just make it sound so easy when you say it.
Well, it's easy in a sense because it's simple practice. For instance, in the morning, very busy. Okay? But anyway, sit down and have a breakfast. Even for 1 minute, sit down quiet and then go show and chant a verse. Pretty good. Don't you think so? This practice is very important for us. If you do that, very naturally, you don't judge the food, your object, in common sense. So called favor or not favor. So you are already facing the meal completely different way. Dealing with the food as a Buddha. Okay? That is called kasho and chant. That is what? How can you do this? be quiet, sit down there. Samadhi.
Right? 5 to 9.
Or just within this quietness or samadhi, is there love and hate there?
Better call him stupid.
That's why in Asia we have to make this kind of book. It's too hard to study this kind of book, isn't it? But you made it. Human being made it like this. If you think simply, no problem. You know, it's not necessary to make this. If you become calm, yes, there is still love and hate, but that is just flashing light, just a blinking, right? Blinking, just like a dancing right in the middle of dance. Okay, you think, don't you? You think it. Oh, pretty dance. But your body and mind is right in the middle of performance of the dance, but your head still blinking. You understand that is love, hate, you know, fighting, many emotions comes up. So still there. But practically, from the beginning to end, be quiet. Practice samadhi. Right in the middle of breakfast, right in the middle of noisiness anyway. That is the goal, practice the truth, we are Buddha. But we don't do it, usually. Yes, please.
Isn't it it's not when we confront breakfast or whatever, it's not just that we are Buddha, but the situation is Buddha, isn't that so?
Whole world.
So what we're facing is Buddha too, like it or not.
Not facing.
Well, what's there?
We are Buddha. There? We are Buddha. We are Buddha means you have to deal with you and your object anyway as a Buddha. Something more than judgment. Not by your judgment. Anyway, deal. Okay? Because mind is always sticky, touching. Okay? But you cannot deal with your life by your mind because mind is always touching. Okay? So, body is still free. And then by your body, you have to do it. Move forward. You know the pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a very good religious practice because you have to continue to move forward, just like a trip. Just move, always forward. Because mind is always sticky to something, to object. So you cannot deal with your life by your mind, particularly in the middle of pilgrimage. So carrying the cane with anywhere Buddha, anywhere all sentient beings of Buddha, with universe, whatever you say. Anyway, just moving in the universe. And then mind catch up you. Anyway, catch up your body. That's pretty good. But not catch up immediately there. That's why Dogen Zen's mention to do zazen with the body. Okay? With the body. Body is pretty good for us. read this book, chapter 10, Dogen Zenji mentions one of the koans and very interesting stories there, chapter 10. And also chapter 9, there is very interesting point here too. Any other questions?